Chapter 146. So remorseful as frequently to moan 60 through penorths. Apostrophe this imperfect sentence not being at all intelligible as a confession, but sounding like a gargantuan order for a dram, brought him into new difficulties, by occasioning his parent to pounce at him in a more than usually snappish manner, and to overwhelm him with bitter reproaches. What was a bad time for Mr. Dawes, could not fail to be a bad time for the Dawes dressmaker. However, she was on the alert next morning, and drove to Bond Street, and set down the two ladies punctually, and then directed her equipage to conduct her to the Albany. Arrived at the doorway of the house in which Mr. Fletcherby's chambers were, she found a lady standing there in a travelling dress, holding in her hand of all things, in the world a gentleman's hat. "You want someone?" ... said the lady in a stern manner. "I am going upstairs to Mr. Fletcherby's." ... "You cannot do that at this moment. There is a gentleman with him. I am waiting for the gentleman. His business with Mr. Fletcherby will very soon be transacted, and then you can go up. Until the gentleman comes down, you must wait here." ... While speaking, and afterwards, the lady kept watchfully between her and the staircase, as if prepared to oppose her going up, by force. The lady being of a stature, to stop her with a hand, and looking mightily determined, the dressmaker stood still. "Well, why do you listen?" ... asked the lady. "I am not listening," ... said the dressmaker. "What do you hear?" ... asked the lady, altering her phrase. "Is it a kind of a spluttering somewhere?" ... said the dressmaker, with an inquiring look. "Mr. Fletcherby in his shower bath, perhaps," ... remarked the lady, smiling. "And somebody's beating a carpet, I think." ... "Mr. Fletcherby's carpet, I dare say," replied the smiling lady. Miss Wren had a reasonably good eye for smiles, being well accustomed to them on the part of her young friends, though their smiles mostly ran smaller than in nature. But she had never seen so singular a smile as that upon this lady's face. It twitched her nostrils open in a remarkable manner, and contracted her lips and eyebrows. It was a smile of enjoyment too, though of such a fierce kind, that Miss Wren thought she would rather not enjoy herself than do it in that way. "Well," ... said the lady, watching her. "What now?" ... "I hope there's nothing the matter." ... said the dressmaker. "Where?" ... inquired the lady. "I don't know where," ... said Miss Wren, staring about her. "But I never heard such odd noises. Don't you think I had better call somebody?" ... "I think you had better not," returned the lady with a significant frown, and drawing closer. On this hint, the dressmaker relinquished the idea, and stood looking at the lady as hard as the lady looked at her. Meanwhile, the dressmaker listened with amazement to the odd noises which still continued, and the lady listened to, but with a coolness in which there was no trace of amazement. Soon afterwards, came a slamming and banging of doors, and then came running downstairs, a gentleman with whiskers, and out of breath, who seemed to be red hot. "Is your business done, Alfred?" ... inquired the lady. "Very thoroughly done," ... replied the gentleman, as he took his hat from her. "You can go up to Mr. Fletcherby as soon as you like," ... said the lady, moving haughtily away. "Oh, and you can take these three pieces of stick with you," ... added the gentleman politely, "and say, if you please, that they come from Mr. Alfred Lammel, with his compliments on leaving England." "Mr. Alfred Lammel. Be so good as not to forget the name." ... The three pieces of stick were three broken and frayed fragments of a stout live cane. Miss Jenny taking them wonderingly, and the gentleman repeating with a grin, "Mr. Alfred Lammel, if you will be so good." Compliments. On leaving England, apostrophe the lady and gentleman walked away quite deliberately, and Miss Jenny and her crutch stick went upstairs. Lammle, Lammle, Lammle? Apostrophe Miss Jenny repeated as she panted from stair to stair. Where have I heard that name? Lammle, Lammle? I know. St. Mary Axe. Apostrophe, with a gleam of new intelligence, in her sharp face, the doll's dressmaker pulled at Fledgeby's bell. No one answered. But, from within the chambers, there proceeded a continuous spluttering sound of a highly singular and unintelligible nature. Good gracious! Is Little Eyes joking? Apostrophe cried Miss Jenny. Pulling at the bell again, and getting no reply, she pushed the outer door, and found it standing ajar. No one being visible on her opening it wider, and the spluttering continuing, she took the liberty of opening an inner door, and then beheld the extraordinary spectacle of Mr. Fledgeby in a shirt, a pair of Turkish trousers, and a Turkish cap, rolling over and over on his own carpet, and spluttering wonderfully. Oh Lord! Apostrophe apostrophe gasped Mr. Fledgeby. Oh my eye! Stop thief! I am strangling. Fire! Oh my eye! A glass of water! Give me a glass of water! Shut the door! Murder! Oh Lord! Apostrophe and then rolled, and spluttered more than ever. Hurrying into another room, Miss Jenny got a glass of water, and brought it for Fledgeby's relief. Who, gasping, spluttering, and rattling in his throat between whiles, drank some water, and laid his head faintly on her arm. Oh my eye! Apostrophe apostrophe cried Fledgeby, struggling anew. It's salt and snuff. It's up my nose, and down my throat, and in my windpipe. Ugh! Ow! 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 Ihhh! Apostrophe and here, crowing fearfully, with his eyes starting out of his head, appeared to be contending with every mortal disease incidental to poultry. And oh my eye, I'm so sore! Apostrophe apostrophe cried Fledgeby, starting, over on his back, in a spasmodic way, that caused the dressmaker, to retreat to the wall. Oh I smart so! Do put something to my back and arms, and legs and shoulders. Ugh! It's down my throat again, and can't come up. Ow! 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 Ihhh! Oh I smart so! Apostrophe here Mr. Fledgeby bounded up, and bounded down, and went rolling over and over again. The doll's dressmaker looked on until he rolled himself into a corner with his Turkish slippers uppermost, and then, resolving in the first place to address her ministration to the salt and snuff, gave him more water, and slapped his back. But, the latter application was by no means a success, causing Mr. Fledgeby to scream, and to cry out, Oh my eye! Don't slap me! I'm covered with wheels and I smart so! Apostrophe apostrophe, however, he gradually ceased to choke and crow, saving at intervals, and Miss Jenny got him into an easy chair, where, with his eyes red and watery, with his features swollen, and with some half dozen livid bars across his face, he presented a most rueful sight. Whatever possessed you to take salt and snuff, young man? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Miss Jenny. I didn't take it, apostrophe the dismal youth replied. It was crammed into my mouth. Apostrophe, who crammed it? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Miss Jenny. He did, apostrophe answered Fledgeby. The assassin. Lammle. He rubbed it into my mouth, and up my nose, and down my throat. Ow. 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 Ihhh. Ugh. To prevent my crying out, and then cruelly assaulted me. Apostrophe, with this? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Miss Jenny, showing the pieces of cane. That's the weapon, apostrophe said Fledgeby, eyeing it with the air of an acquaintance. He broke it over me. Oh I smart so. How did you come by it? Apostrophe apostrophe, when he ran downstairs, and joined the lady he had left in the hall with his hat Miss Jenny began. Oh! Apostrophe apostrophe groaned Mr. Fledgeby, writhing, she was holding his hat, was she? I might have known she was in it. apostrophe, when he came downstairs and joined the lady who wouldn't let me come up, he gave me the pieces for you, and I was to say, with Mr. Alfred Lammel's compliments on his leaving England. Apostrophe Miss Jenny said it with such spiteful satisfaction, and such a hitch of her chin, and eyes as might have added to Mr. Fledgehy's miseries, if he could have noticed either, in his bodily pain with his hand to his head. Shall I go for the police? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Miss Jenny, with a nimble start towards the door. Stop. No, don't. Apostrophe cried Fledgeby. Don't please. We had better keep it quiet. Will you be so good as shut the door? Oh, I do smart so. Apostrophe apostrophe, in testimony of the extent to which he smarted, Mr. Fledgeby came wallowing out of the easy chair, and took another roll on the carpet. Now the door's shut, apostrophe said Mr. Fledgeby, sitting up in anguish, with his Turkish cap half on and half off, and the bars on his face getting bluer. Do me the kindness to look at my back and shoulders. They must be in an awful state, for I hadn't got my dressing gown on when the brute came rushing in. Cut my shirt away from the collar. There's a pair of scissors on that table. Oh! Apostrophe groaned Mr. Fledgeby, with his hand to his head again. How I do smart, to be sure. Apostrophe apostrophe there? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Miss Jenny, alluding to the back and shoulders. Oh Lord, yes. Apostrophe apostrophe moaned Fledgeby, rocking himself. And all over. Everywhere. Apostrophe apostrophe, the busy little dressmaker quickly snipped the shirt away, and laid bare the results of as furious and sound a thrashing as even Mr. Fledgeby merited. You may well smart, young man. Apostrophe exclaimed Miss Jenny, and stealthily rubbed her little hands behind him, and poked a few exultant pokes with her two forefingers over the crown of his head. What do you think of vinegar and brown paper? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired the suffering Fledgeby, still rocking and moaning. Does it look as if vinegar and brown paper was the sort of application? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, apostrophe said Miss Jenny, with a silent chuckle. It looks as if it ought to be pickled. Apostrophe, Mr. Fledgeby collapsed under the word pickled, apostrophe and groaned again. My kitchen is on this floor, apostrophe he said. You'll find brown paper in a dresser drawer there, and a bottle of vinegar on a shelf. Would you have the kindness to make a few plasters and put them on? It can't be kept too quiet. Apostrophe, 1, 2, 5, 6. You'll want 6, apostrophe said the dressmaker. They're smart enough, apostrophe whimpered Mr. Fledgeby, groaning and writhing again, for 60. Apostrophe, Miss Jenny repaired to the kitchen, scissors in hand, found the brown paper, and found the vinegar, and skillfully cut out and steeped 6 large plasters. When they were all lying ready on the dresser, an idea occurred to her as she was about to gather them up. I think, apostrophe said Miss Jenny with a silent laugh, he ought to have a little pepper? Just a few grains? I think the young man's tricks and manners make a claim upon his friends for a little pepper? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Fledgeby's evil star showing her the pepper box on the chimney piece, she climbed upon a chair and got it down and sprinkled all the plasters with a judicious hand. She then went back to Mr. Fledgeby, and stuck them all on him. Mr. Fledgeby uttering a sharp howl as each was put in its place. There, young man. Apostrophe apostrophe said the doll's dressmaker. Now I hope you feel pretty comfortable? Apostrophe apostrophe, apparently, Mr. Fledgeby did not, for he cried by way of answer, Oh, how I do smart. Apostrophe apostrophe, Miss Jenny got his Persian gown upon him, extinguished his eyes crookedly with his Persian cap, and helped him to his bed, upon which he climbed groaning. Business between you and me being out of the question today, young man, and my time being precious, apostrophe said Miss Jenny then, I'll make myself scarce. Are you comfortable now? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh my eye. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Fledgeby. No, I ain't. OHH. How I do smart. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the last thing Miss Jenny saw, as she looked back, before closing the room door, was Mr. Fledgeby in the act of plunging and gambolling all over his bed, like a porpoise or dolphin in its native element. She then shut the bedroom door, and all the other doors, and going downstairs and emerging from the Albany into the busy streets, took omnibus for St. Mary's. Pressing on the road all the gaily dressed ladies whom she could see from the window, and making them unconsciously figures for dolls, while she mentally cut them out and basted them. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.